This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I'm interviewing AJ Wolf, who is living her dream through Disney food blogging. Welcome to the show, AJ.
Thanks, Joe. It's good to be here.
Thank you. It's great to have you on. I'm glad you could take the time to be on.
Hey, Joe, can people see you right now?
No, they cannot see me right now.
You don't tape? Okay. I can see into Joe's little recording studio, and I want you guys to know that he has a drum set right behind him, but he doesn't play the drums. So just an FYI on Joe Pardo, in case you wanted to know, drum set, doesn't play the drums.
No, I mean, I mess around on them, but not regularly.
I just thought that was hilarious. He really does have mixing stuff, like tape recorder mixing stuff, because he's a DJ. He really does have that, but he also has random drum set taking up space in his house. I don't have space for a drum set that I'm not playing, but Joe does.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
Yeah, for now.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Well, let's get started by giving some background about yourself.
Oh, okay. I'm AJ Wolf. I actually live in Dallas, Texas, which people think I live in Orlando. I live in Dallas, Texas, so I can go to Disneyland and Disney World and with just a 3-hour plane flight either way. My background is in writing. I got my degrees in English psychology, master's is in writing. And so that's kind of why I love doing the blogging stuff, is that I love writing. And I'm not sure what other background to give. I love Disney. Been going there since I was little, whenever my parents could take us on vacations there. And then I started maxing out my credit card to go there myself when I was in college. So that's how this whole thing started.
Real quick, I mean, everybody knows that I love Disney. What's your favorite attraction between all 6 parks? Actually, more than just parks. I mean, because there's Downtown Disney's and there's the water parks and there's the golf courses. And I don't need to be shilling for Disney, but
you're like, there's so much to do on your vacation. If you're talking about rides, I really, really love Space Mountain, and I especially love Disneyland's Space Mountain. I think it's superior to Disney World's, although Disney World's Splash Mountain is much, much better than Disneyland's Splash Mountain. But that's a whole other podcast.
So what does writing mean to you?
It really depends on what I'm writing. When I applied for my master's degree, I sent in a portfolio, and because I was applying for to go to a writing program, and they asked me, are you applying for poetry or nonfiction? Because they couldn't really tell based on what I had written. So my writing has kind of gone from a much more poetic, I don't know, highfalutin kind of style to what I do now on the food blog, which is just my personality. You know, it's just straight up, here's what I like, here's what I don't like, here's what I think is a good value. And I try to make it really useful and really helpful and a good resource for people like me who are just Disney fans who like food, maybe don't have a culinary degree and really understand necessarily a whole lot about high-end dining, but we like it. You know, I mean, that's how I feel. I'll go to a fancy restaurant. I'll like the food. I just won't necessarily always know exactly what I'm eating, which is why I ask lots of questions about it. So that's kind of what writing is for me. It's a good opportunity to communicate in a resourceful, useful way.
AJ, what inspires you?
I get really excited when I'm chatting with my husband about our business and about what we do, you know, just kind of like figuring out ways that we can make things bigger and better. You know how Disney says they plus things up, you know, and just looking for ways to make it better. If something's not out there, we want to create it and we want to make it available. And so we're always looking for new ways to just make things even more valuable and useful. I think valuable is the right word. If there's a way that I can make something even more valuable to people, I want to do that.
I think that's the way I look at a lot of things.
Yeah.
How did your dream of writing come about?
I wanted to be a writer since I was very small. I'd always loved writing, and I didn't think you could actually make money writing. And so my initial college degree was psychology. But I've always been writing. ever since I was small, I've always done journal entries and, you know, written poetry and stuff like that. So the idea that I'm actually able to do this and have people read it and enjoy it, that's just awesome. I mean, it's something that I never thought I could actually accomplish.
How was it received by your family when you were doing all that writing, when you were first getting started?
Oh, they thought it was great. You know, like, you always want your kids to, like, read books and write stuff and be creative and draw pictures and, you know, do certain sports things, or, you know, they always want your kids to be good at stuff that they enjoy. And so I think that they thought that was really good, and they encouraged me to write as much as I wanted to, or to read a lot. We always, my family always reads a lot. So that was something that they were big on. So they love that I was doing that. But I'll tell you, my mom is really, she always says to me, I always tell people, you're doing what you went to college for. That's awesome. That doesn't really happen very much. It's just true.
So when you decide you were going to start writing the book, or, well, I guess the blog, what steps did you take to get started?
Well, honestly, the blog came about because it wasn't out there, and it was something that I wanted to be out there. Like, there was a couple who, years before I started the blog, was doing a website. I think it was called WDW Food at the time. I don't think they still own that domain. Somebody else might own it now. I don't even know what it was called, but they would go to Disney World on their vacations, and then they would write about their dining, their food experience. They would only do it when they went on trips. And so I kept going back to that site and refreshing it and hoping they'd gone on another trip, because I wanted to read more about what they were eating at Disney World. And I thought, well, you know, I'm not finding this anywhere. Nobody's really doing this site, and I wish it was there. So why don't I start it? And so that's kind of how it all got started. Was I just thought, well, let's do a couple of posts a week about food at Disney World. You know, even though I don't live there, I can still write about stuff that I've enjoyed there and that I've had, and things that I know other people like. And so that's kind of how it got started. It was really small, and just a, you know, couple of posts a week about it. And I think that the time was ripe, though. I think people really wanted to start talking about food at Disney World and really make that a major part of their planning. And so it took off really, really quickly. I think there was a big hole in the market for that.
So what roadblocks did you hit along the way?
Well, you know, roadblocks with starting a new website are always going to be getting traffic, getting readers, you know, finding time. Just on the personal side, finding time to do the writing and keep up with it, because something that I think new bloggers always need to be reminded of is that consistency is key. You need to keep writing, keep writing, keep writing, because if you create an audience and then you kind of ditch them for a couple of weeks while you're on vacation or whatever, they're not going to come back. They've got other places to go and other things to see. So a big roadblock for a new blogger, and for me as well, was consistency, making sure that I posted reliably and making sure that, you know, I got something up on a regular basis on the blog, but also finding topics. You know, when you're just starting out, the topics don't really come as easily as they will later on, once you kind of have your practice at it and you see which kinds of posts your audience and your readers really like. So it gets much easier later on. And now I've got so many ideas for new posts that it's hard to get them all published, because there's also news and new items and things that we have to cover for the blog that we want to give everybody that information too, but I want to share a whole bunch of other ideas on the blog as well. So it's now there's just almost too much to write.
Well, how did you go about overcoming some of the problems like consistency and writing on a regular basis?
You just have to set a habit for yourself. You know, if you're a runner and you don't really feel like going for that run in the morning, but you still do it, you know, you just get up and go, because you know that habits build on habits. And so you just kind of have to keep doing it, keep making yourself do it. You know, what's good, because a lot of people think, oh, you know, you're blogging, it's, you know, it's a lot of fun to do that all the time. But once it becomes your job and not your hobby, it can get, you know, sometimes it's not real convenient to get a blog post up. And so it can be, you know, it doesn't, you know, I was literally in the hospital writing a blog post, you know, so there are times that you just, it's your job and you have to do it. And so if you kind of look at it that way, instead of, hey, it's my hobby, look at it as it's my job and I have readers who are expecting this post to go up, you know, that really helps. Even if you don't have readers, just pretend that you do. And, you know, because that's really what's going to get you readers is consistent, good quality posts.
So has there been any disappointments along the way?
This is a podcast is about dreamers, but I'm actually very much a realist, if not a pessimist. And so I actually have had more situations where I was happily surprised than where I was disappointed, because I almost always expect the worst and hope for the best. So I've been really pleased with everything that's happened with Disney Food Blog going forward. And like I said, I'm the pessimist. I'm definitely the person who thinks things aren't going to work and then they end up working. And I think that also that's good, because it makes you dot all the I's and cross all the T's before you do something.
So being a writer and a reader, what would you say your favorite books are?
My favorite books of all time, or like right now?
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you pick one of each?
My favorite books of all time, I'm a big fan of Madeline L'Engle's work, who wrote Wrinkle in Time and a whole series after that. Wrinkle in Time was the first in a long series of books. And I reread her books often. I think she's a great writer and a great storyteller. I also love Harry Potter. I love the Harry Potter books. I thought those were great. Currently, I read a lot of Bill Bryson. I read a lot of travel writers because I think especially humor travel writers, I think they're fun and interesting, and I love to travel. And so hearing those stories is inspiring to me as well. You know, these people who have been places I want to go and helps make them a little more real to me.
So could you share a favorite memory?
You know, it was a lot of fun when we released our first ebook, and we didn't know how it was going to turn out. We didn't know, you know, I think my dad went and bought 2 copies just so that we'd have sales that day. But what actually happened is the ebook was really, really, really well received. And we sold a lot of copies that day, and a lot of people were excited to read it. We got very good feedback from it. And that was a really huge boost, you know, for my ego, because it was the first time I'd written a quote unquote, you know, book and put it out there for people. And people just loved it and kept writing to us and telling us how they can't wait for the next one. And they're so excited to see what the new stuff that's coming. So that was just really awesome. That was a great, great memory.
I mean, that was just the first of, you said you have 7 now?
I have 6 or 7, I think. No, I have 7. I have 7 now. And we're hoping to get the 8th out soon, very soon.
I assume the process got a little easier each time.
You know, I don't know if it gets easier. It's always a huge endeavor to put these books together, because we have to check every single little tiny piece of information. You have to check and recheck every price, every little detail in the book, and whether or not this is still the case, or is Disney still offering this, or is this bit of information still valid? You know, does My Magic Plus change this? You know, Disney does a whole bunch of new and different things every year, and it's all interconnected and it all affects everything else. And so each time we put out one of the books, you know, you really have to go through it all with a fine tooth comb. You really have to make sure that everything's correct and that you have all the updates that you need to put in there, because a lot happens every year, every day at Disney that changes what happened before. So it's always an effort. I actually, you know, I have someone who works with us who pretty much works just about full time on maintaining the books and keeping them up to date.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, speaking for the books and the blog, you have to, all that comes out of your own pocket, right?
Right, exactly. So I think there's a misconception out there sometimes that we get our food for free and our hotels for free and everything. And I think that a lot of us in the Disney, you know, blogging community will gladly tell you that we pay for everything that we eat, you know, the hotels we stay in, we pay for all of that, airfare, etc. So those trips are all going on our own credit card, because we want to stay unbiased for the readers and the audience. We want to be able to always say, we didn't like this, we didn't enjoy this, this wasn't how we wanted it to be. And if, you know, you're getting that stuff for free, you can't really say that. You kind of have to be, you know, I mean, you can. Disney would never say you have to say it's good or anything like that. But it's just a question of being unbiased and keeping everything on the up and up in terms of us giving you our opinions on stuff. And if Disney does ever pay for anything, it's it's stated very clearly in the post that that happened, and that's usually for things like media events or stuff like that. But that's very rare. So I think that's kind of a good thing to relay to anybody thinking of doing something like this, is that it's a very big upfront cost, and that, you know, it's not it's not a bunch of free stuff in the end. I think a lot of people sometimes think it is, and it's really not. It's really not free. There's definitely a big, big, big credit card bill.
I'm sure you're asked all the time, but what's your favorite restaurant out of the all the Disney locations?
And that's a really hard one to answer. And I do get asked that all the time, and it's very difficult because Disney restaurants are very inconsistent. They change regularly. They change their menus. They change chefs. They change the line cooks in the kitchen. They change servers. And so you always have a different experience. Even if it's their goal to give you the same experience, there's too many variables. And so I can go to a restaurant in 2010 and it's fabulous and I have the best meal I've ever had, and I can literally go there the week later. I actually have an experience. I wrote about it on the blog. I ate at Le Cellier twice in one day. I ate there for lunch and I ate there for dinner at Le Cellier in the Canada Pavilion, because I love that restaurant, and I wanted two reservations and I could only get them on the same day. So I literally went for lunch and dinner, and I had two completely different experiences. So if I had just been someone who was going to that restaurant one time and then leaving, if I'd gone for lunch, I would have told people, oh, it was great, whatever. And if I'd gone for dinner, I would have told people that was really not a good experience. I wouldn't go back there again. So you really can have two completely different experiences at a Disney restaurant. So to answer your original question, it changes for me all the time. Right now, the one I'm really liking is Flying Fish at the Boardwalk. It seems to be the most consistent, a great wait staff, people who are really, really knowledgeable and really experienced, and a great chef. Tim Keating is fantastic and always playing around with the menu and doing good things. But he still leaves kind of the signature items untouched because everybody loves them. So I love that restaurant. I pretty uniformly have a good experience when I go there.
I've eaten there once, I think like 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was a good experience. I mean, I was still hungry after I ate there.
Yeah.
but
too bad.
It was very good. So I recently just went out to Disneyland for the first time. And the counter service was incredible compared to what Disney World has to offer.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a shame. And it was funny. We were at Universal Studios Hollywood as well, and they had the same problem that Disney World has. No competition.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the reason really why I think that Disneyland has such a great counter service situation is that, well, A, when Disneyland opened, it was a lot of counter service, I think. And B, Disneyland knows that most of their visitors are day guests. They aren't people who stay, you know, for a week. And so I think the majority of the people going to Disneyland aren't going to have time for a sit-down meal and aren't going to do a sit-down meal. They're going to do a counter service meal. And so they really – now they have great table service as well at Disneyland. But I think they put a really strong focus on the counter service because they know that's what the majority of their visitors are going to eat. Whereas in Disney World, you're kind of captive for like – a lot of people go for a full week and they're kind of captive there. And so they know they're going to have table service. They're going to have dinner. They're going to have, you know, a sit down meal at some point. And so they have a little more focus on the table service, whereas Disneyland doesn't do that as much. And they really do plus up their counter service. And it's really good. It's really good stuff.
Definitely. So what do your dreams for the future look like?
You know, when you work in the internet, you never really know what's going to happen. Like it could just, it could all fall apart tomorrow, or it could all like go crazy tomorrow. You just don't know. So you just got to keep on keeping on and doing what you really think is the right choices and focus on moving forward, what's best for you and your life, because you just never know what's going to happen with the interwebs. So we're just going to keep on doing what we're doing and keep on trying to make it better every step, growing the way technology is growing, because it really is. So, you know, we're doing a site update right now that should roll out in a few months, and really just trying to keep up with the way things are changing, keep up with mobile technology, and keep on providing a useful and really valuable resource for people. That's, I think, our goal right now. And we'll see what kind of happens after that.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
If you've got kind of a dream that you want to accomplish, break it down into bite-sized pieces, into small things you can do, you know, when you come home from work each day, little things you can do one at a time, and just keep at it and be consistent and keep working on it and don't let it go. I think that would just be my advice, is just keep going. And if this thing doesn't work, then try something else, because I think that's what they've found about a lot of inventors and entrepreneurs and people of that ilk, is that, you know, failure is going to happen. You're not, you know, you just have to have one big success and then build from there. So I think that's key.
So why don't you plug your websites and let people know how they can connect with you?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're at DisneyFoodBlog.com, and we are at DisneyFoodBlog on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all those other places. Actually, Pinterest is not DisneyFoodBlog. Pinterest is AJ Wolf, which is my name. So we're in all those places on Instagram. You can find all of our books, all of our eBooks at DFBstore.com. Those are all there, and you can buy, if you want to buy more than one book, you can usually get a lower price. So just lots of good ways to get your Disney food fix.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, AJ. I'd love to have you on in like about a year and catch up and follow up on how you've been.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you very much for taking the time.
You bet.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.